starts on May 1st. And the exhibition is Robert S. Duncanson, Spiritual Striving of the Freedman's Son, which is the first exhibition featuring the work of the 19th century African-American landscape painter Robert S. Duncanson in many years. And it's the first exhibition of his work to appear on the East Coast, even in his lifetime. And my next guest is the curator, Joseph D. Kettner, of the Henry and Lewis Foster Chair in Contemporary Art and the distinguished curator in residence at Emerson College in Boston. He's also the author of a definitive book about the artist called The Emergence of the African-American Artist, Robert S. Duncanson, 1821-1872. Welcome to the afternoon show, Joseph Kettner.
Hi, you know, I've got to tell you, only my mother calls me Joseph when I'm bad.
In that case, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
So, tell us about this intriguing artist, Robert S. Duncanson, who I note has got a Scottish surname.
Yes, he does have a Scottish surname, and it's led many people to think that for some reason he has Scottish heritage, but as far back as I can trace him, I can't find it. Duncanson is a very interesting case. He attracted my attention while I was still a student because I was visiting Cincinnati, Ohio. I was dating my girlfriend, so I wanted her to think really well of me, and I took her to a museum. And in the museum, the Taft Museum in Cincinnati, were these nine huge landscape paintings painted on the wall. And so I asked the security guard, well, who painted these? And he said it was the slave of the landowner. And I thought, my goodness, this is absolutely incredible. And so I went back to school and I researched this guy and found out, no, he wasn't the slave of the landowner. But it was an interesting story. As an antebellum, then called free person of color, he became one of the earliest American artists of African descent to make it big in the art world.
Now, what kind of training would he have had, if any?
Well, he had about the same amount of training as most American artists. They taught themselves. Very few people ever got to study at the big academies. That was for a select and privileged group. Most American artists, and the ones that we think of as famous ones, actually learned how to paint by copying prints and doing still life paintings and doing portraits. And he did it the same way.
And presumably, at around that time, there were very few other African American artists.
There were actually some in a variety of cities. But in the antebellum period, there was just beginning in the second quarter of the 19th century to be a black middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what allowed the development of a black professional class, of which painters were a part, as well as doctors, professors, and amongst the most important professions in the time were barbers.
Were his collectors black African people?
Not especially. In fact, at the time, although everyone recognized that these artists were of African descent, the collectors were collecting, as the painters were painting, subjects that were very American in nature. Landscapes, portraits, still life, and the things that all Americans wanted to participate in.
How did he become influenced by the Hudson River School and Thomas Cole?
Well, most any painter of his generation knew of it because it was the first real big flourish in American art. And in the case of Duncanson, he had just moved to Cincinnati, and Cole shipped his great series called The Voyage of Life to Cincinnati, and it was put on display in 1848 where Duncanson saw it, and from that moment forward became a landscape painter.
Oh, really? So, now, they wouldn't have met then?
No, but Duncanson probably met Thomas Cole's agent and student, a man named Benjamin McConkie, somebody forgotten to most history, but who was sent out with the picture to promote Cole's work in the West.
I see. And was he able to make a living from his painting then?
Actually, he was one of the wealthier free blacks in the whole North. He did quite handsomely by 1860, when he was at the height of his career, and developed a reputation that was, well, he was called the best painter in the West, but he was also considered by Canadians to be an extremely important painter to them, and by the English as well.
And how has his reputation survived history? Has he always been recognized as a painter of some eminence?
No. In fact, after the Civil War, the whole notion of American landscape painting receded from the scene. And there were legions of American landscape painters who were forgotten to history and only really began to be resurrected in 1976 with the bicentennial. If you look at your library and you look up American 19th century painters, I would say very many of them between 1870 and 1976 were largely not known. It's a fairly recent phenomenon to reconstruct that period of American art history.
And so the whole sort of rehabilitation of Cole himself and the resurrection of the Thomas Cole historic site at Cedar Grove, that's helped painters like Duncanson then?
Absolutely. Absolutely it has. And I'm very excited that the Cole House is doing so well. It's remarkable that history can allow people like me to go back and find things that others choose to have ignored.
How many paintings will you be showing?
There will be about 18 or 19. I'm sorry, you asked a question I should know the answer to. I'm sorry, I didn't actually count them.
But it's a substantial number.
Yes, it's a good number, and they're good scale pictures, too. And something that I wanted, when you so kindly noted that I published a book on Duncanson in 93, the majority of the pictures in this show were not known to me in 93.
Mm.
So even for people who are familiar with Duncanson, there will be many new surprises in this show. For those who are not familiar with the artist, these paintings give a good representation of the entirety of his 30-some years of being a painter in the mid-19th century.
Wow, that must be very satisfying for you to see this exhibition now.
I'm so happy the Cole House called and asked me to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never dawned on me that fact you announced in your introduction, that Duncanson had never had a solo exhibition on the East Coast. I thought that was really quite a shame, considering he was so closely tied to Thomas Cole and the whole Hudson River School scene, that this opportunity I was obligated to do.
Right. And how many paintings did he do in his lifetime? Is there an estimated figure for that?
Yes, there is, and it's only a small number of what he must have actually done. I know of somewhere in the neighborhood of 200 to 230 paintings. However, a month doesn't go by when a new one crops up.
Oh, really? So they're constantly being discovered?
Constantly. He was known in his lifetime. He painted for 30 years. He was known in his lifetime as being an extremely fast and facile painter.
Hmm.
So, you know, 230, 250 paintings over 30 years is not very many. I wouldn't be surprised if they're double that number.
Right. And how would you describe his style for those who don't know his work? How does his style compare, for example, to Thomas Cole's?
Well, it's interesting that the artists who worked in the Ohio River Valley in the mid-19th century were very conscious of being American, but creating a distinctive style to their region. They were the West then, and they were the basically economic and population center of the West. Now, while Thomas Cole is well known for his sublime scenes of a rugged wilderness, the artists in the Ohio River Valley tended to do more what we would call picturesque or pastoral scenes that show the great beauty of American nature, oftentimes a very tame nature, not quite the ruggedness that Cole often portrays.
And is there anything else that you'd like to add that we haven't asked you about the painter?
Yes, I think it's absolutely extraordinary that Robert Duncanson was the leading painter in the West, and he was widely acknowledged as such. His neighbor and colleague, James P. Ball, was the leading photographer in the West. Ball was also a free colored person. And around them in Cincinnati in the 1850s grew a pop and art colony of African-American artists, which led the entire culture scene of Cincinnati in the decade of the 1850s. An absolutely remarkable occurrence in American history that African-Americans could be the leading cultural figures in their city, a phenomenon that, of course, was dashed with the Civil War.
Oh, that's absolutely fascinating. I had no idea.
I find it very interesting, and it continues to fascinate me now after so many years of working with the subject.
The paintings in the show, are they primarily landscapes or various subjects?
They're mostly landscapes, but they represent the range of what Duncanson did, and so they include a figure painting and a portrait of an important abolitionist from the 1850s. Abolitionists, of course, being big patrons of this artist.
Well, it does sound absolutely fascinating, and I can't wait to see it. Now, you are also giving the lecture on opening day, correct?
Yes, I'm going to give a talk about the fellow and talk quite a lot about the meaning behind his pictures, which is a little bit more involved than we can do on a radio show without any images.
Right. So, well, people, I know where to go to see it. It's on Sunday, May the 1st, the Thomas Cole Historic Site, which will be open for the 2011 season, and it is free admission. And once again, it's Robert S. Duncanson, The Spiritual Striving of the Freedman's Sons. And thank you so much for being on the show, Joe. it was great to have you. It's been absolutely fascinating.
Thank you, Ms. Cooper. Thank you, Mr. Ross.
Thank you.
Thank you. And one thing I should add is just for full disclosure, I have done some PR for the Thomas Cole House in the past. So.
Oh, my. Well, it's not the U.S. Congress, so I don't think you have to worry about
it. Phew, that's a relief.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks.